Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. You know what's funny is every now and then somebody gets mad at me and they say something like, if you're so smart, why don't you go be a GM? If you're so smart, why don't you be head coach? And I have to ask you these questions of, do you really think these guys that are general managers and head coaches are that smart? Like, I understand it's a glorious position and it pays a lot of money, but do you think these guys are geniuses? Every single one of them? In fact, years ago, we were going to the combine and I asked Floyd, you know, those were always the most fun, were the driving trips where I, you know, we just kind of shoot the breeze and everything else. And especially if it was late at night and he'd get tired and then he'd start letting things fly, like things about him and Jeff Fisher and things about him and Bud Adams and, you know, those, the good stuff. But I asked him one time, I said, Floyd, how long would it take if I were to dedicate my life to football? How long would it take for somebody like you to teach me, you know, hey, okay, if we're scouting guards, this is what we're looking for. If we're scouting tackles, this is what we're looking for, before you'd be ready to send me off on the road to go scout college football? And I figured he was going to say something like, ha ha! You know, treat it like I was asking him if I could play quarterback or something. And, you know, you, oh God, no. Oh, ha ha. He looked at me, he goes, no, year. Year and a half. I said, really? He said, yeah. Again, it ain't that complicated. And I will say this. I think it was an honor to do the show with him every day. And I don't want to speak for Ian, but I think that we had an education, football-wise, through all the different things that happened over the years, covering the Titans and covering football and covering the SEC and everything else. We had, you know, such an experience every day for 4 hours. I was talking to my dad about it over the weekend. I said, you know, my best friend is a doctor. After college, he went to medical school. I feel like I went to football school, where, again, it was 20 hours a week of nonstop football talk and evaluations and, you know, what does a GM do here and what's important there and all those kind of things. Again, it doesn't make me think that I'm smarter or that I'm more educated than the guys running the Titans, but I'd like to say that I have a much better understanding of how all of this works than I would have if I wasn't with the guy who has the record for the most wins in franchise history every single day for 5 years. So today, Brian Callahan was at the podium talking about this week's game against the Miami Dolphins. And of course, we know he benched his starting right tackle on Sunday, Nicholas Petitfrere, a.k.a.
PT.
We know he benched PT on Sunday and that maybe Jalen Duncan goes in there. We also know that Jalen Duncan, like PT, stinks. And Brian Callahan was asked what I thought was a very odd question, but his answer, if you know me, was alarming.
Do in the NFL with one side, tackle-wise, being serviceable? Can you coach around having one strong tackle?
Yeah, I think so. I've been in places.
If I was interviewing him for a job to be head coach, and I asked that question, can you make do in the NFL with one tackle? And he said, yeah, I think you can. I would close my notebook right then and there and say, all right, Brian, thanks for coming in. We'll be in touch. That would be the end of it. That would be the end of the conversation. If the coach took the job or was applying for the job and he told me that he doesn't think you need two tackles, that would be the end, period. See ya. It was very nice to know you. Jimmy down the hall will take care of your flight back. We look forward to talking to you soon. Go ahead and continue the cut.
Do in the NFL with one side, tackle-wise, being serviceable? Can you coach around having one strong tackle?
Yeah, I think so. I've been in places where we've done it. Yes, there is a way you can help. I mean, very few people have five all-pro starters. Very few people have two tackles that are of the same calibers. You know, some do, but very few do, and you have to find ways to help that. I mean, you're always trying to help your weaknesses somewhere. Very few teams are complete when it comes to having everything you absolutely would want to have on a roster, and that's our job as coaches, is to find ways to, one, highlight our strengths, and two, try to find a way to minimize whatever our weaknesses are, because everybody has them. Everybody's got strengths and weaknesses on their roster, on their team, at whatever positions, and that's my job, to put guys in position to highlight those things, and then again, to help where we don't have, you know, where we consider our weaknesses might be. So, yeah, it's definitely possible. I think it happens all around the league.
Oh, my God. This guy's the head coach. And he thinks you only need one tackle to be successful in the NFL. And then he did what callers do, which drives me insane, which is, I don't think any team in the league has five all-pros on the offensive line. Right. And when the Titans were good, they didn't have five all-pros on the line either. But they did have five legitimate NFL players. Taylor Lewan, legitimate NFL player. Not an all-pro. Roger Saffold, legitimate NFL player. Not an all-pro. Ben Jones, legitimate NFL player. Not an all-pro. Nate Davis, legitimate NFL player. Not an all-pro. And Jack Conklin, who was an all-pro. Again, they didn't have five all-pros. But they had five pros. And that's the problem. Brian Callahan is trying to he thinks he's so smart that he thinks he knows more than Floyd. Because I've told the right tackle story way too many times. You know I don't have to tell it again. But I've told this story for the last 3 years, because whether it's John Robinson, Mike Vrabel, Rand Carthon, and now Brian Callahan. And I'm going to have to throw Bill into this too, because you know that a big part of probably what Brian's thinking about is probably coming from Bill. And Bill was a pretty terrible coach in the NFL, you know, when he was head coach. And we got to bring that up, because when he was in charge of the Raiders, he was in charge of the whole team. And that first year with Gruden's players, they got to the Super Bowl, and then all of a sudden it went right down the toilet. And I think we got to keep that in mind. But this idea that Brian Callahan thinks he can get by with one tackle is absurd. John Robinson thought the same thing, and now he's sitting on the couch eating Cheetos. Mike Vrabel thought he could get by with no tackles last year, and now he's ripping heaters at the local pub in Cleveland, you know, because he thought he could get away with it. And I got to tell you, again, I talk about what I call disqualifying behavior all the time, about how if somebody does something, if somebody is stupid enough to do something that is so outrageous, that is the, okay, you, the fact that you thought that was a good idea tells me all I need to know about you. I'm worried about that with Brian Callahan when I hear that answer. Again, I asked the old man 9 years ago, just making small talk, before I had started, again, my football schooling. And I said, Floyd Titans going to be any good this year? And he looked at me and said, and again, where I'm sitting right now, and I'm looking right here, there's an Eddie George bobblehead that's up here. This is exactly where he said this to me. He said, we don't have a right tackle. And I said, that's important, right? He said, right tackle? So I'm going to trust the guy who has 111 wins for the Oilers and the Titans. The guy who, when you go to the stadium, his name's on the wall. When you walk into the facility, his name's on the wall. When you go to the Titans' house to buy your PSLs, his name's on a gold record, because he has the record for most wins. So I'm going to trust what he says. And when Brian Callahan says, you know, I've done it places where we've only had one tackle, I would say, well, do you have Joe Burrow at quarterback here? Because the only way that team was able to compete with that terrible offensive line they had in Cincinnati was because Joe Burrow is special. And I can tell you a lot of things about Will Levis. One of them is he ain't Joe Burrow. And what's alarming about that is not that Brian Callahan, you know, doesn't know football or anything like that. Brian Callahan knows football. Clearly, he thinks it differently, you know, some of the core principles. But it's the guru coach mentality. This is the one negative of the guru coach, the offensive coordinator head coach. And that is, these guys can get a little arrogant, which I don't think Brian Callahan is naturally arrogant. But again, sometimes I think these guys think that they can fix anybody. The old story is when Josh McDaniels ran off Jay Cutler in Denver, he walked into a team meeting and said, "It's okay, boys. I can turn any high schooler into an all-pro." That is what the guru coaches sometimes do. They think they can take anybody and make them into a star. And I worry about Brian Callahan, because I'm sure Brian Callahan thought he could do that with Will Levis. But if you notice around the NFL, Kyle Shanahan pays up when it comes to important players at important positions. Like tackle, McCaffrey, tight end. He pays up if he thinks you're an important player. So again, I mean, Brian Callahan can say whatever he wants about, you know, oh, we can do this with one tackle. But I would argue that your results through 3 weeks probably prove that you can't. And also, again, I know there's a lot of different ways to skin a cat, but I don't think football has changed so much that when the old man said, you need to have a right tackle, I don't believe the game has changed so much that all of a sudden they've come up with a new way where you don't need a tackle. And one last thing I'll say about this. Again, David Stewart wasn't perfect, and he wasn't an all-pro. Fred Miller wasn't perfect. I mean, every now and then, Ian, you know, he'd jump the snap count a little bit. Just every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a starting right tackle in the NFL. And if you notice, when the old man was here, they always had a starting right tackle. And they always had a plan for the next starting right tackle. And we never seem to complain about the offensive line as much as we complain about the offensive line here, where apparently this coach, the last coach, Ken Whisenhunt, who tried to take a third-round guard, Jeremiah Patasi, and stick him at tackle. Three of the last four coaches around here have not had any value whatsoever when it comes to right tackle. The one guy who did, Mike Mularkey, was with the Titans when they drafted a tackle seventh. And I believe that worked out pretty well. So when I hear Brian Callahan say, you only need one tackle in the NFL, boy, that scares me as much as anything that I've seen or heard from him. And that includes that stupid timeout he took to go for it on fourth down on Sunday, which was an all-time, are you a big boy making decisions or are the fans telling you what to do? I don't want to tell the right tackle story anymore. I don't want to have to go to practice and ask about right tackle. I don't want to have to sit there in the preseason and say, guys, I don't think this right tackle is very good. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to have any more nightmares about right tackle. But then you got the coach up there saying it doesn't matter. Oh, God. Oh, God. We lived this. It was the Whisenhunt era. I know how that ended, too. Brian, do better. Bill, do better. 615-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025. By the way, you can say, what do you know about football? And what do you? I was right about this, wasn't I? The day the guy got hired, I sat down with him. I told him the right tackle story. Clearly, he probably was like, what's this guy know? Well, have you watched the first three games? And what's amazing is Brian Callahan's new plan for right tackle. We got to get to that next. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number. It's Stillman & Company. 1025-1063 The Game.
What are we going to this week deciding what you do at right tackle?
We'll just see how practice goes. You know, again, sometimes when guys get pulled from games, it's not always necessarily means that their starting job is gone. It just means that they weren't playing very well in that game. So we'll see. We'll let them both practice. They're both going to get reps, and they might even both play. We'll see how that looks. I don't have any real definitive answer on that at the current moment, but as the week goes on, I'll have a little more clarity.
You know what I thought when I heard Brian Callahan's solution at right tackle being the, you know what, we'll practice them both this week, and you know what, maybe both of them will play. We'll see how it goes. And you know what my reaction to that was when I heard it in Lifetime?
What's that?
Because that's exactly, I don't want to put words in the old man's mouth, that's exactly what I think he would have said. I mean, come on now. So I just, during the break, thought about this. So Brian Callahan's playing at right tackle. Now that he knows that PT sucks, which I tried to tell you guys. They got to the combine and they said, we like some of the traits we see on tape of PT, and they called Jalen Duncan, JD. They're like, we like some of the traits we see. And I'm like, no, don't do it. Don't get sucked into the idea that you can fix this. It ain't fixable. And you guys said, Bill Callahan will fix it. I said, oh, dear God. I said, okay, good luck. And so remember Corey Curtis on the sideline? And again, all he was doing is reporting what the Titans were telling him. But Corey Curtis on the TV broadcast of the Saints preseason game saying the right side of the line was something they felt they were hopeful about. Now it's something they feel good about. Guys, back to you. And I thought, oh, God. Jalen Duncan has a career passing efficiency, according to Pro Football Focus, of 88.9. PT is 91, I think, this year, 91% and a half. So Duncan's career is about 3 percentage points lower than PT's. And PT this year is the single worst pass protector in the NFL. So the Titans are going to replace PT, maybe, with a guy who, whether it was the game on Sunday or last year, whenever he gets to play, is worse than the worst in the league. Because last year, Andre Dillard was the worst in the league. And Andre Dillard got replaced by Jalen Duncan, and Jalen Duncan was worse than Andre Dillard. So now Brian Callahan, who doesn't think right tackle is important, apparently, Brian Callahan is going to split the reps. He's got two guys who are both objectively awful. And he's going to split the reps between the two. And so, I mean, not that these, first of all, these guys need every rep they can get. He's going to split the reps between the two. And then he says he might play them both on Sunday. Let's see how that works out for you, Brian. Can I bet? I'm going to say not very good. By the way, you know what he's going to do, Ian. You know why he's saying all of a sudden that he's not for sure going to bench PT.
Why is that?
Because he knows Duncan sucks. Like, he knows it.
They can't rule out going back to PT.
PT's starting.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, PT's starting on Monday night. They're going to suck it up and hope it works. Because they know he's better than Duncan because Duncan's that bad. Gee, if there was only one person, everybody else bought all the bullcrap. Bill Callahan will fix it. They could have put me at right tackle. And the people of this town that covered the team would have said, well, Bill Callahan knows. Bill Callahan knows. So the one guy, me, that said, guys, these two guys stink. Now I hear your new plan, and I think it's worse than your original plan, which I thought was horrendous. Holy crap. Woo. Oh, my God. One texter says, you need to move off of your love affair for Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow just let – did you see this yesterday? Apparently Shannon Sharpe said Joe Burrow didn't do enough for Cincinnati to win, and Joe Burrow's offense never punted.
I did not see him say that, no.
Apparently, Shannon Sharpe went on TV and said Joe Burrow was the reason that they lost. And they scored 33 points and they never punted. Unbelievable. One texter says, start Radens at right tackle and then Brunskill at right guard. No, texter, because Bill Callahan says you're not allowed to do that. Bill Callahan's not interested in that. Brian says, did you just say Jalen Junkin? Was that a Freudian slip? As I said it, I was like, probably not that far off. Skyler says, just use Duncan as a sixth lineman besides PT full-time. You want to know what's crazy? I think there's a chance that if you did that, it still would be worse than having an actual right tackle there. One texter says, disqualifying behavior. Does that include you wanting Anthony Richardson over CJ Stroud? You make a lot of good points, but you aren't a GM. Let me say this. I stand by what I felt at the time. I watched Bill Belichick and Mike Lombardi. They were doing a film breakdown. I don't know if you guys saw this on YouTube, but there was a film breakdown between the two of them where they were going over the quarterbacks in next year's draft, and they were going over Cam Ward, and they compared him to Anthony Richardson, and they pulled up the Anthony Richardson college tape. And again, I understand Belichick, you know, bombed on Mac Jones, but again, he's Belichick. And Belichick and Lombardi are just losing their pants watching Anthony Richardson's college tape. That's how I felt. And I think that Indianapolis has completely mismanaged him. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Richardson's not smart enough to play quarterback in the league. Maybe he doesn't have the heart to play quarterback in the league. I don't know. But again, like to say that Anthony Richardson wasn't a super talent defies what everybody in that league thought. And I still think there's room for Anthony Richardson at 22 years old. You know, somebody texted in comparing Will Levis earlier to Josh Allen, saying, well, didn't Josh Allen have a rough time at the beginning of his career? Josh Allen was 22 years old as a rookie, and he was 5-6 as a starter. So Levis has started what? He started 9 games last year. He started 3 games. So Levis has started 12 games. Allen was 5-6 as a starter. Levis is 3-9? 3-9. So again, not exactly the same. And on top of it, Josh Allen as a rookie had 12 interceptions in those, again, 12 games. Will Levis averages 3 turnovers a game right now. And when Josh Allen was 25 years old, which is Will Levis's age now, the Buffalo Bills were in the AFC title game against the Kansas City Chiefs in one of the greatest shootouts of all time. I don't think they're comparable. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025 here on our program. And again, Bill Callahan says they can do this, which I do wonder. And look, Bill Callahan's reputation across the league when it comes to being an offensive line coach is irrefutable. You know, the guys I listen to, Polian and Spielman and those guys, again, they're all like, oh yeah, Bill Callahan is a great coach. But at some point, if Bill Callahan is the one that's saying, no, we don't need to spend $7 million on Jermaine Illuminor, if he's saying that because we have PT, then we got to reevaluate Bill Callahan's ability. 615-737-1025. More of your phones, plus the other offensive line comment from your coach today that I can't. We'll continue along. Stillman and Company, 1025, 1063 The Game.
I know this O-line is still trying to find its rhythm together. With Peter Skoronski in particular, though, you know, maybe is he at the point where you guys thought he would be, or what are those things you need to still see out of him at that left guard spot?
Yeah, I think that left side's played pretty well for us. I think there's some things in pass pro, I think early in the season, the first game or two, he was getting more comfortable with, and I think he played decent last week. I mean, again, we haven't played well enough anywhere to feel like we're able to win the game, but I've been pleased with where he's at. He's performed well. He's going to have to keep growing and keep performing, though, because it's critical to have our high-pick players play at a high level. I mean, that's how you have a good football team. And right now, we just need more, like I said.
So Brian Callahan not only thinks that the Titans don't need two good tackles, he thinks you only need one good tackle. He not only thinks that, he also thinks he can split the reps for the two terrible players and see what happens on Monday night. But he also thinks Skoronski, who is, quite frankly, I mean, I hate to say it, he's downright atrocious right now. But he thinks he's doing a good job. I'm starting to wonder if Brian Callahan is actually watching the game tape. I'm starting to wonder if Brian Callahan, whose dad is Bill Callahan, I'm starting to wonder.
Big coach.
if like he knows anything about the offensive line.
Who, Bill or Brian?
Brian. I'm starting to wonder that.
Lost in translation somewhere?
I mean, I guess. I mean, I don't know how to do my dad's job. At least not very well. So, I don't... It's inexplicable how this offensive line is as bad as it is, given the fact that everybody and their grandma knew that the biggest problem was the offensive line. Again, you guys think that, like, I invested as much time in talking about Jermaine Illuminor this offseason because I'm some sort of expert on the Las Vegas Raiders offensive line play? No, I knew Jermaine Illuminor was an available right tackle who is healthy consistently and wasn't terrible last year. And I'm like, hey, go sign him because it's better than what you have, because I knew what you had was terrible. And they said, no, no, no. And I kept saying, hey, I can't tell you why Skoronski's terrible, but I can tell you his guy's the one who keeps getting to the quarterback. And they kept saying, no, no, no. And now here you are week three, and even you guys are in the text line sitting there saying, I don't know exactly how I feel about all of this. And, you know, a lot of guys are playing like this fantasy football. Move Skoronski to right tackle and put Brunskill at left guard. They're not going to do that. Again, what I would do, and I don't really know how much credibility I deserve when it comes to talking about this, because I'm not. I'm going to do it one more time. Bill Callahan. I'm not Bill Callahan. And I'm not Brian Callahan. And I don't make the kind of money that those guys make to know the kind of things that we're talking about right now. Though apparently Brian Callahan and I do vacation in the same spot. But I will say this. If I get a vote, and I have been right this entire time, I would put Brunskill at right tackle. That would be my solution. I'm going to suck it up on Skoronski, at least for a little bit longer, but I would put Brunskill at right tackle. That way I'm not moving any other pieces in the line. I would have put Radens at right tackle to begin with because he was the best of all those guys at right tackle, but that's what I would have done. One texter says, if I say Bill Callahan one more time, he's going to drive his truck straight into a concrete pylon. Let me just say this. I know how much trucks cost, and I'm not a truck guy.
They're expensive.
You know, I'm not a, look at my F-150. I did see a commercial. You know, I've got an e-hybrid, and I'm, like, obsessed with charging my car. Not because of the environment or anything like that. I just love being able to be like, I haven't been to the gas station in a month. That's what I love. It takes gas, but, you know, I like charging my car. I do. And I saw one of these truck commercials, and it's got this cowboy with a cowboy hat on it, and it's him with a truck, and it shows him charging his truck, and they're like, this is the longest range truck on the market at 400 miles. And I thought to myself, A, that truck must cost $1 million because I know how much a truck costs. And so now an all-electric 400-mile truck, that's got to be insanely expensive. And number two, I don't think dudes with cowboy hats are like, let me charge my car right now. I think those are the people that are like, I don't want to charge my car. I want to use gas. You do realize that if you do this, you'll never, ever have to go to the gas station again. I don't care. But again, I digress. So don't run your truck into the pylon because trucks are expensive for whatever it is. One texter said, say Prius out loud, Jared. I don't drive a Prius. And I'm not going to say what kind of car I drive, but let's just say that you can agree that it's...
It's not a Prius. No, it's not a Prius.
It's definitely not a Prius. We'll just leave it at that for whatever that's worth. Somebody said, we know you're not a truck guy when you say, look at my F-150. Isn't an F-150 a truck?
Yeah.
I mean, I've listened to enough country music to know what the brands of trucks are. Just like I know the kinds of beers because of country music.
Our intern said that's a City Boy truck.
An F-150?
I guess so.
So what's the Dodge Ram? Is that the?
Oh, Chevy.
Chevy? Silverado?
Sure.
Like a rock? I mean, hey, make of it what you will. One texter says, Says, I hate the Rant excuse. He can't fix everything, Jared, because our team was so bad, but he could have invested more in the line than 30-year-old skilled players. Again, I kept saying this with Tony Pollard, and I like Tony Pollard, and I liked it when they signed Tony Pollard. But if you're going to pay $8 million for a running back after you drafted a running back in the third round, I'd rather you take one of those two resources and use it at right tackle. I'd rather you have taken the money you gave. Like, I'd rather you have taken the money that you gave to Pollard and give it to a right tackle. Because, again, I never heard the old man say you can't win because you don't have a running back. I did hear him say you can't win because you don't have a right tackle. And how many years of this at right tackle? I know you guys are sick of the right tackle story, but serious question.
Big country, right?
How many years of this at right tackle do we all have to watch before we can finally say, okay, Floyd was right and the Titans need a right tackle? I think most of you guys are there right now.
I think it's been since Stewart.
They had Conklin.
Oh, that's true.
But I'm talking about how many, like, years for the since they let Dennis Kelly go. How many years will it take? How many GMs, how many coaches before the Titans get somebody in here who's like, no, right tackle's important? And again, how many years until the fans are like, I don't care. I don't want to think about it. I just go get me a right tackle. How long? Because it's obvious you have to have one to win, and it's obvious the Titans haven't had one in 4 years, and yet this offseason, I was the idiot, and now I'm like freaking Buddha over here because I'm the one who's like, yeah, I spent all offseason saying they need a right tackle. For however long that is. The new Ford electric truck goes for $115,000. $115,000 on a car.
Yeah.
By the way, somebody texted in trying to guess what kind of car I had. And he guessed it on the first try.
Okay.
So, congratulations to that caller. Somebody said, don't make fun of truck guys. I'm not. I'm just telling you, I'm not one of them. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025 if you want to weigh in. Somebody said, I thought you go to twice daily every day. You still stop in convenience stores. It's not like you're not, man, I need a water. But now that I charge my car and don't have to go as often, I'm not going to go get a water now at the... No, come on now. I just don't get gas very often, which I am appreciative of. I actually did the math, and I think I've had an e-hybrid now for a little over a year, and I think I've saved like $900 by charging my car and not getting gas, just according to the math, for whatever that's worth. 615-737-1025. Kaharski had a doozy today. We got to get to that next, and we will. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
I do think you were talking about, like, the expectations. You know, I mean, the team talked enthusiastically about players and stuff, but the team never talks about what kind of results it's expecting or anything like that. We stand with PR guys watching practice. They never say, hey, we're going to be good or anything. It's us. Now, I try to tamp it down and say, you know, hey, we don't know. We haven't seen, whatever. And I talk about falling into the trap a lot. But the way the league is built, unless you're really the worst, like you were talking about, Joe, unless you're Carolina, you're sold hope the yep. whole offseason. From the minute your season ends in January until kickoff in September.
So that's what Paul Kaharski said this morning about how don't blame the Titans for everybody's high expectations this offseason. The Titans didn't say any of that. Now, we did play our toxic positivity mix the other day in which the Titans said many things to get your hopes up. Whether it was about how great the vibes in the building were, whether it was Brian Callahan saying, I have very high expectations for this team, and Will Levis is a big reason why I took the job like he did on Bussin' with the Boys. I mean, even the other day, Tyler Boyd said, we have a Super Bowl team on paper. So don't come saying the Titans weren't the ones pumping everybody's tires. Now, that being said, there was one program that didn't buy it for a second. And I say program because when we set our expectations for the season, I had the Titans at 5 wins and Ian had them at 4. And we were the big haters out there because we're like, yeah, this team's not very good. And Ian had them at 4. So then Kaharski was continuing on talking about how it's the media's fault that people got their hopes up, but saying, don't listen to the one place in the world that told you exactly what was going to happen this season.
You're sold hope.
And every year and there's a Houston. Restrain. You there's have a to, Bucks right. of last year. Every year that those teams happen.
You have to restrain yourself. Some of us do it better than others. Some, like your afternoon host, are completely shtick-filled, like doom negative. You know, and he may have had a worse.
He's full of shtick. Is that what you're saying?
he may have had a worse view of this team than others, but he knows that they spent a lot of money on the team, and surely he knew that it is a better team, and it is a better team than last year's team
on paper.
Yeah, and in ultimate production, it's going to be a better team, I will still say. I think it'll at least equal the 6 wins. But it's us. We need to raise our hands and say it. Some of us more than others. I mean, there's some really hardy cheerleaders out there.
I don't disagree with that, but you can't take that away from me. I was right. And it's not even about me being right. I love the whole personal thing about, well, you know, your afternoon show host, that's all shtick. That's not reality. You think I just sit around and make up the right tackle story and talk about right tackle? And you think I just went to practice and made up that Skoronski sucked? In fact, I think it's everybody else that made up that Skoronski didn't suck because I kept talking about it on the air saying, I'm watching this guy in practice and he's getting turned around by nobodies from Seattle. And I'm like, who are these Scarbinis? And everybody else was like, oh no, Peter's having a great camp. I'm like, based on what I'm watching it. What am I missing? You think that was shtick? You think I made that up? You think I made up that PT and Duncan stink? Because a lot of people do. A lot of people out there think, you know, Jared Stillman just is stirring the pot. Really? Stirring the pot about right tackle? Not stirring the pot at quarterback, not stirring the pot with the head coach, not stirring the pot... Stirring the pot at right tackle? Who stirs the pot at right tackle? I can promise you, in every single media workshop you'll ever have, they probably say, don't talk about right tackle. It's the single least interesting position to talk about on the radio or on TV or whatever. For every other fan base except this one, because this team hasn't had a right tackle for 5 years, and now the fans are starting to realize, good God, if we don't have a right tackle, we're going to be terrible, so it actually is important. But it's always a moving target with Paul. It's never good enough. The afternoon show is never right, according to Paul. The afternoon show is never insightful, even when we are pretty much right about laying things out, according to Paul. The afternoon show is never right, even when he agrees with us, like today when he was banging on Amy Adams Strunk for firing John Robinson too early. No, no, no. It's always the afternoon show's fake. It's always the afternoon show's full of shtick. It's always something. It's always some kind of scam in the afternoons. People, he's scamming you. Yeah, scamming you by spending the entire summer talking about right tackle. That's a real scam. I think I maybe hear a hint of jealousy every time Paul gets butthurt. Because in that moment in time, they didn't bring me up. He was the one that had to be like, you know, I think the media gets a little too over the top in the afternoon show here, which was right, but it doesn't count. It doesn't count because I said I was concerned about Tavondre Sweat for not showing up to OTAs, which he has now moved the goalpost on and said that I said that Tavondre Sweat was going to be a failure, which is an opinion I never had. I was concerned. When the fattest guy on the team has concerns about his weight and former executives and GMs and people around the league are going off the record to say, yeah, we couldn't draft that fat guy because he's too fat or he's too dumb or he's too whatever the reasons they gave. Yeah, I'm going to be concerned by it. Sorry. But to act as if all of a sudden I said that Tavondre Sweat, who, by the way, hasn't become Warren Sapp yet, but to act like I said that he had no chance of being good because he missed OTAs is a total mischaracterization. But I get it, because that's what he's got to say in order to make his argument look good to the people who follow him on Twitter, since they can't hear him on the radio or watch him on TV or, you know, see him in any other meaningful media. But I'll give Paul credit. I like listening to him in the morning. I think Blake Bedingfield does a tremendous job on that site. But you got to give credit where credit's due. I believe in giving credit where credit's due. If Rand does something right, and I'm not a Rand Carthon fan, but if he does something right, he'll get credit. Problem is, they're doing too many things wrong. And I was right about that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Jared versus Joe is up next. Still in company, 1025, 106 for the game.